So, one of our foundational truths that we will return to, and I'll remind you of this as long as we stay. I don't know how many weeks we'll spend here with prayer, but I'll remind you of this every week, that prayer is first about relationship. It is first relational. And we've been reading this. We won't go to this verse, 1 John 5:3. We've been reading this every week, but it's where Jesus is saying, if you love me, you will obey me. And my take on this verse is that if you are in a Abba, Father, Daddy, if you are in a intimate relationship with me, if you are in a love relationship with me, if we are walking together, then you, the result of that will be obedience. It will be seen in your life. Let's go to Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. There's this connection. In all of your doing, in all of your accomplishing, in all of your projects, in all of your running around, in all of your fretting, in all of your doing, even in all of your serving the Lord, are you missing what God really has for you? Do you see that connection there? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Prayer is in there. But there's something more there. A delighting yourself in the Lord. You know, Moses, who had enormous responsibility. A lot of people think 2 million people to organize, orchestrate, be their leader, be their spiritual leader, be their civil leader. Enormous responsibility. I mean, I bet his project list every day was huge. But at one point, Moses took 40 days out from what he was doing and spent that time continuously in prayer. It would have been so easy for this thing to have become all business for him, but it did not. It was intensely personal. And if we turn to Exodus 33, we'll just take a quick look at this. Exodus 33, 12 to 19. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, but you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Moses is praying right now. He's talking to God. It is relational. God is talking to Moses personally. "I know you. I know you. I want you to know me." Then Moses said, he's forgot all about his job with the Israelites now. He's all about God. He's all about connecting. He's got all this responsibility, all this burden to carry. It's down at the bottom of the mountain. He's all about God. Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and then compassion on whom I will have compassion." If we are not willing to stop, if we are not willing to stop what we are doing and connect with God, then we are committing the same sin as Adam and Eve. We are saying to God, You don't have all the resources I need. I have to do this myself. I'm going to do it myself. It's independence. It's putting yourself ahead of God, putting yourself as God. And then we choose what we can do rather than what God desires. And we miss the main thing. We miss the main. If we don't say, stop, I'm stopping, and I'm connecting with God. If we're not doing that, it's sin. It's the same sin as Adam and Eve, and we miss the whole point. Walking in the cool of the day in the garden with God. That was their point of living, really. You know, I had a quote that I used last week, and we know it, and we believe it, but do we live it? Listen to this. We will never be satisfied with any person less than Jesus, and no place less than heaven. But we continue to pursue other people to get our worth from other people think, and we continue to pursue whatever it is, that making that place, that home perfect, making your life perfect. But we are never going to be satisfied here. Just accept it. We're not built for this place. We are made for an eternal city. We are made for heaven. And the closest we come to filling these two areas of contentment, of relationship and place, is when we are in prayer. That's when we have the potential to be the most fulfilled. But we refuse to just stop. We refuse to stop. We just keep running and keep running and keep going and keep doing and keep checking off of our list. But we're missing the whole point. If we're doing that, we're missing the whole point. As a quick review, before we go on to that, our daily choices, we talked about this before, but this is a choice we make every single day, what we were just talking about. We have to make this choice, whether we acknowledge it or not. We choose. Our daily choices tend to be centered around our desires rather than God's. But that's a choice. That's a choice that we make. We choose to put ourselves ahead of God when we don't stop and connect with Him. We don't have much time. We don't have much time daily, and we don't have much time left on this earth. No matter if we live to be 80, and a lot of us in here will not. We don't have much time. And we need to be sure and do the things that are the most eternal, the things that are most important. First steps. This is not to discourage you. Do you remember how we talked about how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you go on a journey to walk around the world? One step at a time. You got to go out the door and take a step. One step at a time. So, this is to encourage you to get started. Get started. Test drive these things we talk about. Or the next week when we talk about it, it won't be meaningful to you. The next thing we talked about was prayer and the Word. That our prayer, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more today, never gets too far from the Word or we get off track. The other thing we talked about was God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. That, yes, God's in control. God orchestrates the events and the times and the years and the days. But we have responsibility. And God moves in response to the prayers of His people. And prayer is God's method. Prayer is the way that God gets things done. And we are following the outline on the back of your bulletin, if you're not familiar with that. I forgot to remind you. There are two things that Jesus emphasized about prayer in His teaching. Now, when Jesus was teaching the disciples, He didn't go into, we talked about this a little bit last week, He didn't go into a lot of explanation, a lot of detail. He kept it simple. He kept it pretty simple. And there was two things that He emphasized. One was perseverance in prayer, and the other thing was faith in prayer. Let's turn to Luke 18. Is it getting hot in here, Cronin? I don't want to be slinging sweat into the third row. That is my heritage, you know. That's what they do in the South. 1 through 8. You know, Southern preachers, don't y'all get it? Okay. Never mind. Yeah, go ahead. Take care of that, Josh. Or maybe you get some canned laughter. Could you do that? Yeah, like that. Yeah, that was good. Chapter 18. Perseverance in prayer. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't continually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?" The point of this is in verse 1. They should always pray and not give up. Now, don't get the idea that Jesus is comparing Himself to an unjust judge. He's taking the worst possible situation, just like He did when He was talking, when He said, "Will a father, when the son ask a father for bread, will he give him a snake?" He's saying, even the worst among you will do this. He's saying, if the worst among you will do this, what about me? What about God? He will answer your prayer. Let's go to Psalm 38:15. "I will wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God." You know, there are so many verses in the Bible connecting prayer to endurance and connecting prayer to perseverance. You know what that means? That means I'm going to have to wait. It's a part of it, the plan. I'm going to have to wait. And it means I'm probably going to be uncomfortable. That's what perseverance means. It's not going to be comfortable. I don't want to read about that. I don't want to read about that. I want to read about God's going to answer your prayer immediately. He's going to come with power and glory. I don't want to read about perseverance. I want it to go easy. I want it to seem good. But perseverance is automatically a part of the plan, and perseverance means that you keep on keeping on when you want to quit. And it means it's going to look bad sometimes. But what does He say when it looks hopeless, when it looks impossible, when the answer's not coming, when there's no response, when your prayers feel like they go as high as the ceiling? What's His advice? Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Pray and do not give up. Persevere. Pray and do not give up. I will answer. Let's go to Isaiah 43:22. I know, we're all over the place this morning. You know, this is a foreign idea to us. A part of endurance in prayer, a part of persevering in prayer, is praying and seeking God and connecting to God and turning to Him when you don't really feel like it. Now, this verse, I think, is challenging. Isaiah 43:22. "Yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, O Israel." Think of all the stuff that you weary yourself on. Whether it's getting something done on the computer late at night, whether it's getting yard work done, whether it's something you do for work, a project, or something you do around the house, where you will push it. I know you guys. You'll push it. You'll get it done. You'll do whatever has to be done. You'll get determined and get it done. When is the last time you wearied yourself on prayer? That's what God's saying here to these people. You have not. He's looking. God is almost, if you could say this, it's like you weary yourself on all these things. All these things are so important to you. I want you to weary yourself in prayer. I want you to seek me with that same kind of urgency that you seek the things of this world. In fact, I want you to put it above those things. When have you wearied yourself in prayer? Let's go to Luke 22:44. And I thought about this verse when I'm trying to get out of bed to have prayer time sometimes. I know it's a little different application, but Luke 22:44-46. And being, this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Maybe we should have that on our alarm in the morning. Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so you do not fall into temptation. I haven't done that yet, but maybe I should. If you are not doing this, or if you have never done this, prayed with this attitude, then you are missing out on a depth of intimacy with God that He intends you to have. It's not that we're earning the relationship with God, but it's not easy. It takes some perseverance. It takes some wearying yourself in prayer to connect with God. It takes some desire. He wants us to come after Him. It pleases Him for us to come at Him with this attitude, with this kind of desire. We won't go there, but Isaiah 64:7 says, "You have not striven, you do not strive to pray." In the King James, we talked about it last week, I quoted it, that says, "To stir yourself up to pray." All these verses are pointing to the fact that it's not always easy. It's not always easy to pray. But think about it. If God is waiting to do His real work, if He's waiting to do His real work until we pray, how long do we make Him wait? How long do we put Him off? How long do we wait before we experience what God really desires to do in us individually and in this body? You know, we can go out in our own strength and make some real appearances of success. But God moves His hand in response. When it's God's work, it's in response to prayer. Pray and don't give up. He repeats it over and over. You know, I do not know of a great work of God that did not require endurance and perseverance and many times suffering. And I do not know of a great work of God that did not originate in connecting with God in prayer and requiring much faith. So, what's that telling you? It's telling you, if you are going to move and do God's work, be a part of what He is doing, there are going to be some times when you feel discouraged. That just struck me. It's like, that is the normal process of events. Why does He tell you to persevere, to endure, to keep going, to pray and don't give up, if it wasn't a possibility that you feel like giving up? You see, and that's just the normal course of events. If you are following in God's way, He is sometimes holding back and letting you pursue Him all the more. Pursue Him with passion. Pursue Him with diligence, with perseverance. The other requirement, the other part of faith that Jesus really emphasized was faith in prayer. Let's go to Mark 11:22. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And then, a final little piece of advice that he gives. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. I know we've emphasized the relational end of prayer, and that don't wait until you get your life all together before you start praying. But when you are praying, and God does reveal to you a sin, something that's standing in the way between you and Him, unforgiveness towards another person, or, of course, whatever sin He may bring to your mind, then it's critical that you repent of this, that you take care of it, so that you can continue in prayer. But the main thing, the main point here is if you believe, you go to God, asking Him, believing, He will answer your prayer. And you know, the more we persevere in prayer, the more time we spend with God, like Moses did, and the more I become aligned with Him, the more my desires are in unity with His. Does that make sense? The more we know how to pray, the more we're praying, the more we're persevering, the more we're enduring in prayer, the more we're stirring ourselves up to pray, the more connection we have to God, He changes our desires. And then we can pray in complete alignment with His will. Let's go to John 14:12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. By the way, what was Jesus doing when He was here? He was making disciples. He was teaching. He was building relationships. He was sharing. He was making disciples. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. God will provide grace, and He will provide what we truly need. But He always does it through faith. Jesus was always talking about faith. Just that thing that we've studied so often. Even simply believing that you have a new nature. How do we let righteousness be seen in our life? It's through faith. It's believing God that it's true. We have a new nature. That's how we connect it to reality. And the same is with prayer. When we believe, when we pray, see, when we go to God, I know the first thing that pops into a lot of people's mind, pray, ask for anything in my name and I'll do it. Wow. How about that Hummer? I wouldn't mind getting that. But when we are seeking God, if we come to God, you know, if that's our request, if we're coming to God asking for a Hummer, I think God allows us in with that request. He allows us in with that request. Now, as we persevere in that, I think we'll come to find that our desire will change. And our desires will align with His desires. And our desires will be for the kingdom. Our desires will be to go into all the world and make disciples. Our desires will be to see Christ formed in other people. Our desires will be in line with Him. So, whatever is motivating you to pray, He says, bring it. Bring it. Connect with me. Let's go to Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah, there at the end of the, towards the end of the Old Testament. After Isaiah. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. What a promise. Is there a stronger statement in the Bible? Call to me and I will answer you, says God. Call to me and I will answer you. And the more we call to God, the more we go to Him, the less likely we will be double-minded. What does that mean? Divided loyalty. It means self-dependence, independence from God, making our own decisions apart from God, a self-focus. Let's go to James 1, 6 through 8. James, back in the New Testament, after Hebrews. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all he does. When God is really first, that's when our prayers are in line with Him. When His desires are our desires. When He really has first place in our life. And we won't go there, but Hebrews 11:6 says that it is impossible to please God without faith. Do you catch? Every trial then, every difficulty becomes, this thought pops into my mind a lot of times when I go through a difficult time. Every trial is an opportunity to please God. Because what do you want to do during a trial? You want to doubt. But if you have faith, if you trust Him, then that trial is an opportunity to please God. Every prayer is an opportunity to please God. Every time you go to God in prayer, this should be our heart's desire, to please God. This should be what we're about. Every time you go to God in prayer, there's an opportunity to please Him, because when we go to Him in prayer and we trust Him, we believe Him, then that pleases God. Now, there is a protection factor in prayer. And that is found in Romans chapter 8, I think around 31, but we won't go there. That where God says that He will work all things out to our good and His glory. You know, even if we get the details wrong in our praying, if our heart is in line with the kingdom, with His desires, then He may have to work out the details a little different than what we expected. But that's our protection factor. He knows what's best. But still, He will answer if we call on Him. In conclusion, I just wanted to give you a few hints for prayer time. Now, I'm giving you a lot of theory in a sense, but every week we're going to add to this practical, to our practical knowledge of just practical suggestions about going to God in prayer. The first thing is that we, when we come to God, that we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. That, you know, love is about the will. It doesn't offend God if you come to Him and you don't have all this gushy emotion towards Him. That doesn't offend Him. But if you go to God and you say to God, God, I'm devoted to You. I love You. I'm committed to You. That's what He wants. He wants us to start it off with that. I love You. I thank You. I thank You. I thank You for all the details You are working out in my life. And believing Him, that He really does want to meet with you. You believe what the Bible says, that He really does want to meet with you. And you believe that He'll give you the strength, the stamina, to follow through and to really pray. And believe that we have a promise that the Holy Spirit, if we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit will help us pray. He will assist us in our prayers. In John 15:7, last verse, let's go there. If you remain in Me, and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. If My words remain in you, the Word and prayer, they never get too far apart. We can run out of things to say to God, or we can run out of appropriate things to say to God. The Word is a key component of prayer. You know, my prayer list consists of, I have like just a slew of verses listed out, just specific things to pray for people. Because I run out of stuff to pray for people sometimes. And I know I want to pray. I know that God's given me a desire to pray more for them. But it's like, what else do you pray? And so I have this list of verses that I go to pray for people. And I use that. And it's just pray in the Word. And it's copying prayers from Paul. It's getting his ideas. And it's getting ideas from different prayers throughout the Bible. But, and this is necessary, I think, for all of us. And in your prayer, that you do not just pray about your own needs. You know, that's like a small child with their parent. They're just concerned about their needs. But as we mature and as we become an adult, things change. And it's like an adult conversing with God about what must take place in the kingdom, where our desires are broader than just our own little self. So, have a list, pray specifically, and expect God to answer specifically. Perseverance pays off. Do not leave at the first excuse or the first sign of boredom. Endure. Abba, Father. There is a love relationship that prayer is based on, and you will connect with God. And what a difference this makes. Friday morning, I met Ken and Carlton at Denny's at 5:30. And usually before I go meet somebody or something, I'll have some prayer time. But I thought I was getting there earlier than those guys, and I was going to have some prayer time before they got there. But they got there right after I did, so it didn't work. And, you know, and I got busy doing things, even studying and getting things done, and I didn't get prayer. And it's like, during the day, I would think of something else I wanted to seek direction on and pray for, and it's like, I just couldn't slide into it as easily, because I hadn't started off like that. You will find it easy to slip into prayer throughout the day if you've already connected with God. If you are in simple things of direction, just, should I make this call? Should I do this? Just a simple prayer, just a sentence prayer to God during the day. And just, not that you're waiting for some bolt out of the sky, but you ask that prayer, and then you move on confidently, believing God, He's going to guide me. I don't know how He's going to guide me in this, but I'm going to end up doing the thing He wants me to do because I'm trusting Him. Phone's dead. Oh well. Do you realize that prayerlessness is a sin? And it is a sin that is rampant in the church. It's a sin that is rampant even in leadership of the church. Now, we're going to end. We're going to close. And I believe Ange has a closing song for us. So, as we close, now would be a good time to repent. If there is the sin of prayerlessness in your life, then now would be a good time to repent and to determine to trust Him to strengthen you to follow through. And there may be failure in that this week. It may not go perfectly as you determine to pray and to seek God and to pursue Him. But that's part of getting where God wants you to be. That's just part of it. And if I'm giving you answers, next week, we're going to talk about prayer. And there may be some answers. But if you haven't asked the question, the answer is just going to go right by you. But if you struggled with it during the week, and you develop a desire, a need for the answer, then God will provide that for you. But we've got to get started. And I have prayed. I've prayed for every... Well, Ernest, I can't say that for you because I just met you today. But for every person in here, that they would really become prayers. Really become prayers. And I pray that for us as a group and us individually. So, take a minute as we sing this last song. Remember, repentance is appropriate if you're not praying. But it's a sin. It's appropriate. So, repent. And then, turn to God. And He will trust Him that He will give you what it takes to persevere in this.